Willie Lovelace versus Joanne Barnhart. Mr. Schultz.
Good morning, Your Honors. May it please the Court, I'm Barry Schultz representing the plaintiff Willie Lovelace this morning. The administrative law judge made several errors in finding Mr. Lovelace not disabled. He relied on medical opinions, as is the commissioner in arguing her claim, that are not in the record. He improperly analyzed the plaintiff's obesity, contrary to the evidence and contrary to Social Security ruling 02-1P. He erred in rejecting the treating physician's opinion, in part by failing to recognize the significance of Mr. Lovelace's obesity, and his credibility determination is insufficient as a matter of law. The commissioner acknowledges in her brief at page 5 and page 24, footnote 9, that the opinions of the state agency physicians aren't in the record. They're referred to in the record. The ALJ refers to these opinions, but they actually aren't included in the record that was before the administrative law judge or that's before this court. The ALJ could not rely on opinions that don't exist in the record, and this court should not affirm the ALJ's decision if based even in part on opinions that don't exist in the record. The commissioner argues that there's circumstantial evidence showing what those opinions consist of, but since the opinions themselves aren't in the record, there's no way to know what those doctors actually said, or what conclusions they reached, or on what basis they reached those conclusions.
What is the circumstantial evidence of the existence of these opinions? How exactly did they get before the judge?
The initial and reconsideration determinations make reference to the finding that the plaintiff is capable of performing light work, which might suggest that they had a basis for reaching that opinion, but the opinions themselves aren't in the file, so we don't know what those doctors actually said.
Well, it seems that he's got several maladies, sleep apnea and the edema. I don't know to what extent his blood pressure and all. He's got lots of things, but I got the impression that the obesity was really the serious problem. And you seem to say, well, he didn't consider that. It seems the other way around. It seems that's what the obesity is, what got him down to the bottom rung. Even though you don't want him to be there, but he seems that those other maladies seem to at least be controlled. It's just the obesity that limits him severely.
I don't disagree with that. I think that it is primarily the obesity, and plaintiff contends that the ALJ did not consider the obesity appropriately.
He reduced it down to the fifth level, but you think it should have gone off the chart, where he couldn't do anything.
In part because of the treating physician's opinion, which found that he was capable of only working about half-time, that he could not sustain a full-time job, based in large part on his obesity and the fatigue that's caused by his obesity. Because the state agency physician opinions are not in the record, the treating physician opinion is uncontested or uncontradicted in this record. And he stated that based on the claimant's weight, 450 pounds, Mr. Lovelace could not sustain work more than 4 hours a day, sitting 2 hours a day and standing and walking 2 hours or less during a work day.
I get the impression, at least in that report, that he couldn't sit for more than 2 hours. I don't understand it, but let's assume that's what it means. And he couldn't stand for more than 2 hours. But you could do 2 hours and then 2 hours and then 2 hours. It didn't mean that he could only stand and sit 4 hours a day and the rest of the time he's heavy lying down.
The questions asked of the doctor in both reports actually specifically referred to how long the claimant could stand or sit during an 8-hour workday. And in response, the doctor...
What did he do the rest of the time?
The doctor said 2 hours. Be lying down. Mr. Lovelace testified that he had to lie down.
I can understand lying down maybe intermittently, but you mean the 2 and then 4 hours lying down. Is that how it works?
Well, the doctor doesn't specify that, but he does say only could sit for 2 hours during the workday, or stand for 2 hours during the workday. And again, there's no contrary opinion in this record. Dr. Jenkins, who examined Mr. Lovelace, didn't provide a functional capacity assessment. He didn't provide any opinion as to how much Mr. Lovelace could sit or how long he could stand. So that leaves the treating doctor's opinion as uncontradicted. The ALJ only really talks specifically about Mr. Lovelace's obesity in two comments. In the one comment, he said his primary problem is his weight, but he hasn't done much, he hasn't done much about that because his weight is still high. We can't tell for sure what conclusion the ALJ drew from that, but that's a very similar statement to the statement made by the ALJ in Barrett versus Barnhart, in which this case court reversed the ALJ's decision, finding that an ALJ shouldn't diminish the impact or minimize the impact of obesity because of the claimant's inability to lose weight or the fact that the claimant didn't lose weight. In fact, the ruling 02-1P, which is specifically for analysis of obesity, indicates that most often treatment for obesity is unsuccessful, and that rarely will a failure to follow treatment be a basis for finding a claimant not disabled. In addition, it says that there has to be some specific treatment that is suggested and not followed, and just a doctor's recommendation that a claimant diet and exercise is not the kind of specific treatment that the commissioner will look at in stating that an individual did not follow the recommendations of his doctor in trying to lose weight. Mr. Lovelace testified that he went to a gym, he walked on a treadmill, he walked at his health clinic.
He might have kept him out of the place because they didn't want him to get in the treadmill. At that weight, he might even break the damn thing.
Well, I mean, one of the differences between this case and any of the other obesity cases that have come before this court that I've seen is Mr. Lovelace weighs much more than any of the other plaintiffs at 450.
One wonders how he's able to sit down, lie down, and get up again. I mean,
there's no evidence in the file, but concerning that. But that really raises, I think, one of the main points is that the ALJ's decision doesn't recognize that just the fact that Mr. Lovelace weighed 450 pounds in and of itself could be sufficient to cause him to be unable to sustain work.
In spite of my flipness, I know and understand your problem.
All right. Okay. Thank you, Your Honor.
Okay. Mr. Mann.
Good morning. The ALJ in this case found a very limited residual functional capacity. It wasn't just sedentary work. It was sedentary work with the opportunity to change position every 45 minutes. Now, the only piece of evidence that we really have in the record that would suggest that he can't do the sitting requirements, which seems to be the main argument here today, that he can't do the sitting requirements of sedentary work, is the very restrictive opinions from Dr. Al-Kadur, as you noted. Only 2 hours a day of sitting, 2 hours a day of standing. The ALJ rejected those opinions quite reasonably because they are very extreme and unsupported by the record. On the other hand, we have Mr. Lovelace himself talking to Dr. Jenkins and admitting that he could stand for a couple hours at a time and sit for hours at a time. There's really very little in the evidence that would support a restriction beyond, the 45 minutes opportunity to stand up. In finding that Mr. Lovelace could do a limited range of sedentary work, the ALJ did start with the state agency physicians' opinions. These physicians both found light work. And in answer to Your Honor's question, the ALJ cited in this case to a form completed by the state agency employee, noting that the physician had informed him of light work, a full range of light work. He applied the light work grid rule for a full range of light work, which, by the way, includes the ability to do sedentary work. That's at page 106 of the transcript, 114. Go ahead.
And that form is in the record?
It absolutely is, okay. Yes. Pages 106 and 114. That's the initial stage. We also have the form, the one-page form that the state agency fills out. Those are at pages 20 and 29. Those show the names of the doctors who provided the opinions, both initially and reconsideration, Drs. Baum, Blatt, and Zittman. We also have the reconsideration letter. Let me see what page that is. That's at page 37 of the record. That was a letter sent to Mr. Lovelace himself explaining that the agency found that he could do light work. Now, the ALJ did make an express finding, as I said, at the beginning of his analysis, that these doctors found that Mr. Lovelace could do light work. That was an express finding. He started with that before he cut back to the sedentary work. Mr. Lovelace has not challenged that finding until his reply brief and his argument before this court. At this point, the argument is waived. And, in fact, the ALJ can, in these administrative proceedings, rely on circumstantial or less than direct evidence. The statute and the regulations do provide that the strict rules of evidence do not apply in these cases.
I didn't find anybody that suggested what light work might be involved. Did you?
Pardon me?
Did you find any place in the record where somebody suggested what light work he might do?
At the hearing, they started with light work as a residual functional capacity, and the vocational expert did identify some types of jobs.
Like, I didn't see that. What did he suggest?
Oh, golly.
Well, no, wait. Don't knock yourself out.
Okay, that's okay. I mean, and he did start with that. But let's start with the job that he was doing at the time he was laid off in March 2001. That was a medium job. He was lifting 50 pounds. He was on his feet all day. And by the way, he testified he weighed 450 pounds then. I mean, obviously this man is very obese, even at 6 feet tall. But he was working for many years with this obesity.
Yeah.
So, I mean, we do have some examples. If you wanted to go back to the vocational expert testimony, I apologize. It
no,
wasn't
that's
an
all
issue.
Right.
So
I can look through, you know.
And anyway, we did cut him back to the sedentary, so we were relying primarily on the sedentary jobs with the sit, stand, or 45.
So it looks like, this way it looks to me at least, that this obesity is eventually going to have him sitting down all the time. He's just not going to be do it. But at this stage of his obesity, combined with all the other things that are basically being controlled, he can still do stuff. That seems to be where we are. At age 37, is he?
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, this is not happy.
No, it's not.
But I can see it descending, and it has descended. But at this stage, at least the way that they found it, he can still do sedentary work.
Yeah,
one would hope that he could still do things and not be in a collision course with disaster. But I guess we take it as they are, what
yeah.
they're presented.
And I think you're right. A few years down the road, he may reapply and be in much worse shape, unfortunately. But I think, you know, especially the report from Dr. Jenkins, which the ALJ found the most persuasive. I mean, he was admitting he had very little or no daytime somnolence. He could stand. He could walk. I mean, there's just not a whole lot that was going on, even after he was laid off. I'm sorry. Did you have
said waddle would probably be more accurate
well,
than walk.
I know. But he was actually performing this job. He was actually able to do it, and that was his testimony. He wasn't laid off because of it, and, you know, he continued to look for work.
Peace.
So if there are no other concerns, thank you.
Okay. Mr. Schultz.
The sitting... The problem that Mr. Lovelace had sitting was not the only problem, because he testified that he had to lie down 2 or 3 hours every day due to fatigue caused by side effects of his medications as well as his sleep apnea. And though his sleep apnea was somewhat controlled, it wasn't completely controlled. It was controlled when he wore the CPAP mask at night, but he testified he could only wear that mask 3 or 4 days a week, and 3 or 4 nights a week he couldn't wear it because it was too hot or humid. And on those days, even when he wore the mask, he only slept for 6 hours, and that was interrupted sleep. The doctor indicated that he had side effects from his medications, including drowsiness, and that fatigue was one of his primary symptoms. That was one of the other issues in the claim. The ALJ never addressed the plaintiff's fatigue. He addressed his sleep apnea, finding it to be relatively controlled, but nowhere in the decision does he address the testimony that Mr. Lovelace said he had to lie down for 2 to 3 hours during the day. He doesn't find that testimony not credible. He doesn't address the side effects of his medication.
Is there anything in the record that, and this is more of my curiosity, that indicates somebody not just saying, like they say to all of us, well, you ought to do diet and exercise, or it's good you're doing diet and exercise. You know, that refrain. This guy's got a real problem, and it isn't being addressed. Is there anybody who's prescribed something more definitive to say, either do this or you die, or something?
No, there's no evidence in the record that anybody
what are these doctors doing?
Has prescribed
anything.
Given
them a bunch of medicine and various and other things when the obvious problem is his size.
That's correct. And I don't know much about this health clinic where he's going. It is a clinic for people on public aid. There's no evidence that he's been referred to or been able to see a specialist.
We may have a case of medical malpractice, but...
Maybe. And finally, I'd like to mention that the ALJ did not rely on the fact, does not mention the fact that Mr. Lovelace was obese while he was working. So that's not a factor that this court should rely on in affirming the ALJ's decision, because he didn't rely on that.
Of course, he's always been apparently been big, or at least for a long time.
That's correct.
The only thing that's happening is he's getting older. Yeah, and that as he gets older, he's less running on youth.
That well could be. Thank you, Your Honors.
Okay, thanks to both counsel. The case will be taken under advisement.
And yet another case involving immigration.
Yeah.